The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. And opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Welcome to BIB Radio. I'm seeming to have some issues, CC, with opening your mic. Robert, if you want to take
it. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. All right, go ahead.
Okay. I think what happened is you pushed mute and I pushed it too, but okay. Welcome, everybody. Greetings. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Blacks in Business Radio. We are today in, March 29th, 2018. I am one of your hosts, CC Harry, and I am joined by my co-host, Brother Robert 11X. Robert, are you there?
I am most certainly here.
Okay. Have you landed now in the nest already?
I am in the nest.
Okay. Well, you will see in the nest, your dinner is there. So, okay. I don't know if you got it yet, but yeah. Okay. So, how are you doing tonight?
I am actually wonderful. There's no such thing as a bad day. However, this is just an exceptionally great day. It's greater than yesterday. So I am wonderful. And you?
Okay. Well, I am wonderful as well. I mean, I've had a very long day, but very productive. I am happy to say that I am upwardly mobile. That's a good thing. It's always a good thing to come to our show and share with our listeners what it is that we have going on, because we always have something going on.
Yes, we do. All the time.
All the time. I mean, just it's never a dull moment. It's great.
Between your energy and my energy, and the amount of stuff that I know you do, and the stuff that I do, and the way that we think, it's always good for our show, because we're always into something. And ladies and gentlemen, I have to take my hat off to this young lady here. This woman, Cece, is just your go-to person. If you need to be encouraged, or need an idea, need to get it researched, need to find out who does this or does that, she's the person that you really should go to. If you need a virtual assistant, she is that person that I guarantee you can absolutely get things that you just have the most difficult time getting done. She is that person that can actually get it done. I've never met a person that has the drive to accomplish a thing like Cece herself. I mean, so, and this is just real talk. I've been in business 24 years. You heard me say that before. And all my 24 years of being in business, I've never met a person that moves in the capacity that she moves in. So if you need a go-to person, that's your go-to person right there. I mean, real talk, ladies and gentlemen. So I had to say that because I always say, and this is kind of segueing into our show too, because we never tell the people that we love how much we really love them, how much we really adore them, admire them. And too often you hear people at funerals saying these types of things. Oh, she was good, or he was that, and he was just so wonderful. And I wonder if we would ask the people, when was the last time you told that man or that woman those kind words? How recent? I wonder how recently would that answer be? You know, well, I can't even think about the last time I said that to him. So we should always give our flowers, you know, to the people while they're alive, and not wait till we're standing over a casket looking down at them and saying, man, you really was a great person, you know. So I had to say that about you, Cece, because that's real talk, okay?
I mean, I feel like, I don't know what to say. Well, I appreciate you appreciating me, but it's all been good work. We do it together. You know, I just look forward to doing more. I mean, I sometimes make myself tired thinking about all the things that have been done, you know, over the past 2 years. But as long as we are able to inspire our listeners to push through in entrepreneurship, I mean, it's all worth it. I mean, I'm just very excited about what we're doing. What we are, we're going to segue into our show pretty soon, but I just had the pleasure of talking to Sister Deborah Yah. She has a YouTube channel. It is called Black Education TV, if you all want to tune in to what she's talking about. She deals with many different aspects of life, what is going on, you know, currently, and, you know, scripturally, and just, you know, just upwardly, I should say, motivating our people to just, you know, really think about some things that are going on. But I had the pleasure of talking with her, and we're going to do some work together at the largest Black conference that there is concerning homeschool, which happens in Atlanta every year. It's done by Liberated Minds, and we'll be bringing you some more information on that as well. We bought you information in Queen Thais last year, and we'll do that again just to remind you all about that conference, because it is very important that we move toward homeschooling our children. Some people feel that they can't do it. Some people don't feel that they're educated enough, but as time goes on, we want to make sure that people are equipped with the proper information so that they can know that they are their children's first teacher. So I'm very excited to have embarked on this adventure, and so many more that have gone on this week. But with that being said, our first hour, we have our guest actually on the show. She is from the STL. It's so funny. I ran into her information this past week, and she accepted our invitation to come on the show. So let me read the information. We have the pleasure tonight in speaking with Alex Merritt, affectionately known as the Love Engineer. And she's the creator and host of Dessert and Discussion. Dessert and Discussion is an engaging, unscripted discussion between men and women about love, sex, and relationships. Ms. Merritt earned her bachelor's in mechanical engineering at the Missouri University of Science and Technology. In 2010, Missouri S&T and the Sacramento Observer named her one of the 30 future leaders under 30. That's very important. As someone who is passionate about developing healthy relationships, Ms. Merritt is on a mission to help powerhouse women and the men that love them break down barriers and build amazing relationships. For more than 15 years, she has garnered empirical observations related to relationship dynamics, along with informal relationship research, which is used as the foundation for her work. Ms. Merritt has developed an enlightening understanding of relationship dynamics that she uses to help individuals to have better interactions with the opposite sex. In 2009, Ms. Merritt launched Dessert and Discussions, which is a provocative experience where men and women walk away understanding the opposite sex like never before. In 2015, she developed the Lovinar TM, a powerful interactive relationship course that defines and explains the art and science of relationships, and most recently launched the War on Love, which is trademarked, that's what the TM is, adult card game series. Her discussions, courses, and unique perspectives are changing the love game forever. So she has also listed her links there. And I believe we have already put it in Blacks in Business Radio. So we want you all to go ahead and check that out. But in the meantime and in between time, let's go ahead and bring on our St. Louis sister, Sister Alex Merritt. And claps. All right. Greetings, Sister Alex.
Hi there.
How are you?
I am phenomenal. How are you?
I am great. We are also on with Brother Robert 11X.
Hey, sister, how are you?
I am fabulous. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. Glad to have you on the show.
So glad to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Yes. And as we just read through your introduction, but just go ahead and give our listeners an organic synopsis of who you are and what it is that you're looking to do. I mean, this, of course, is an entrepreneurial endeavor, but we don't know. You know, are you looking to expound upon this in any way, shape, or form? How can people really tap into what you're doing? I mean, just there's so many questions, but just go ahead and let them know organically, you know, who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. I am the girl who had a whole bunch of questions about love, sex, and relationships. That's who I am primarily, and that's how Dessert and Discussion got started, is because I had questions. And then as I started to bring people together to explore those questions, have discussions, realized that not only did I have questions, so did everyone else, married or single. And so quickly realized that there was a need, not even just, it was not just a good idea, it was like there was a sincere need for men and women to be able to have space and grace, if you will, to be able to explore relationship dynamics, topics, and to get some real perspective about how to go forward and have an amazing relationship. And so Dessert Discussion started in my living room as just that, as an, you know, an experience in my living room. And it has since grown into this movement where I realized that a part of the gifting that I have is being able to help men and women understand and see relationships from each other's perspective so that we can build upon that information and then, more importantly, move forward and have better relationships.
Okay. Well, that is amazing because, you know, I feel like we do have these things we are kind of locked up about, and we really don't know how to have those discussions, hence that one book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, or whatever, because we really don't. We don't know how to make those connections because we are different. We are different. Men and women are very different creatures
very much so.
in how they communicate. You know, we know from the relationships that have been, you know, destroyed or whatever, we know that a big part of that has been communication. Robert, what do you think about that?
That's one of my things. I always say that, you know, when it comes to relationships, I mean, I think that relationship is pretty much likened to the blood that flows through the body. You got to have, I mean, not relationship, but communication. You got to have effective communication in order to succeed. Because if you can't talk, I mean, the problems don't go away by themselves. They have to be discussed. They have to be, you know, talked about, and then come to some type of compromise or some type of agreement. Okay, and then
sorry.
But from there, it can be resolved. At least you get some closure with communication. So I strongly agree.
Now, Alex, what has I would think that with what it is that you've created, there's been so much positive feedback. Have you ever started in with your discussions and just found a couple or one half of the couple that was just all the way negative and didn't want to participate?
I have not, actually, because, interestingly enough, is once you show up at a dessert and discussion, like, you already came because you wanted to discuss something. There was something you came to either see, learn, know, or share, right? So mm-hmm. by the time you get there, you've already, like, prepped yourself for the experience. What I have had happen, and it always is my greatest joy, and it's literally why I wake up, I think, some days, where it's this idea of, there's a married couple, I think, because married and single people come to dessert and discussion collectively together, because, like I said, what I've learned, from a cause and effect standpoint, and this is the engineer in me who was like, wait, there's a cause for every effect, or there's an effect for every cause, if you will, is that this notion of it's male and female dynamics, but nevertheless, this couple came, and I think one of the questions was, and it's one of my favorite questions, it's also in the game, is what's something you should never say to a man? And, everybody has a perspective about what that is, and it's always fascinating to hear what the men say. Well, her husband said, where you been, or something like that, right? And I could see her face, and she was like, what? and I'm standing on the stage hosting this, and I know that I'm like, she probably asked that question every day. Ooh. On some level, right? And it's the one thing he's like, I don't ever say that to me, right? But she didn't know that he felt that way about it, right? And then, like, 10 minutes into the discussion, she literally raises her hand. She says, I never knew that. And they had been married for, 13, 14 years at this point.
Oh.
And he then shared why, right? So his reasoning for why he didn't like the question or like that statement being asked, very different from her motive in doing it. And so in that moment, watch them, understand, perspective, because oftentimes we talk, people anecdotally know, communication is important. And even, Brad just mentioned, it's like the blood in your body. And it's like, well, that's exactly true. It's like, people know as much about the way the blood flows in their body as they do about how to have effective communication. It's like, you just don't know. You just know that it happens. And when it goes well, great. But when there's a problem, you have it and you just don't know how to get out of it.
Wow.
Right.
Well, I know that with discussions, oftentimes, I don't know, with these relationship issues, they stem from past relationships and childhood. How do we handle mm-hmm. those things?
I think the big piece is recognizing, one, is that everything, can be addressed, if you will. And most times people know the what, they just don't know the why. So you just hit on it came from childhood or it came from, past relationships. But if we recognize not only just that part, but this other piece of realizing that they also come to teach you something. Like, there's, everybody's just a mirror. So the thing that angers me about you, usually has nothing to do with you. It has actually to do something with me, if I'm willing to get to the bottom of whether it's that hurt, that fear, that pain. But the way you address it is being willing to one, have the discussion, but then I think the other people, where dessert and discussion gets real, and why it works for people who come and they walk away like, oh my God, this was great, is that it's not about being right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
In relationships, we spend so much time trying to make the other person right or wrong, for that matter. And if you start from that position, then somebody has to win and somebody has to lose. But if you open up and recognize that my truth and your truth, though they may be different truths, they can exist together. And if I can hear your truth, then at least I can get to where I'm going. So I tell people, that's not, well, is it wrong for me to say this? And it's like, no, it's not about right or wrong. It's just effective or ineffective. Like, what's your goal? Is your goal to make him feel awful? Because if that's the goal, that is a great way to do it.
Well, that totally makes sense. I'm thinking that in communication, there is, like you said, I lost my point. I mean, there's so many things in that. I mean, because it's all centered around communication. And, you were saying something about somebody has to be right or wrong. And that's basically the wrong stance, because if I'm always trying to make myself right, then you're always wrong. And then how effective is our relationship if you're always trying to make that person wrong? or if you're always trying to justify your action or your foundational belief or whatever. But if you come from the stance of, like you said, you know, we can have two different truths that coexist, I mean, that's just very important.
Yeah, and I think the other piece or the thing that I find is fundamentally understanding, like, why we communicate, right? So I had the privilege of my college roommate in engineering school was a guy. So I got to see this up close and personally with just a friend. I'm like, wait, you guys are just fundamentally different. But when it comes to communication, like that, everybody knows the word. It just means something different. And the motives behind why men and women do it are just different. And when I say that, I mean is that so for men, men talk to solve a problem. Period. They talk because there is something to be solved. It's how someone, when you tell them something, they quickly reach for answers, or here's what you should do, or here's how you should do it. To her frustration, because she gets mad, it's like, no, just listen, right? Mm-hmm. And that's because, like I said, men talk to solve a problem. For women, talking is solving the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so the very act of her being able to get out what's on her mind, to share, you know, kind of put it into the atmosphere, and then from there she can maneuver it and manipulate it. She just got to get it out. The very act of doing that is how women solve problems. It's how can we call our girls and can be on the phone for hours. Nobody gave any solutions. Nobody has any, like, action plans. But she feels better when it's over. Why? Because the act of sharing it is how she solves it. For him, if there's not some concrete and we're going to do A, B, and C next, he's like, why did we bring this up?
Yeah. Like, why do we talk about it if there's no solution?
He's like, why do we talk about it? Yeah, and it's just a recognition of, like, no, for him, he has to come up with an ABC. So as a guy, that's what he needs. Got it. That's how you solve your deal. And knowing that, and that's how men talk to each other. But if you're listening to a woman talk, then you have to know that, again, giving her an answer or a solution literally is just stopping the process for her. And then it becomes an argument about the fact that you're trying to help her. And then he's frustrated, like, what you mean? Why did you even tell me this if you didn't want my help? And so then we start to pull away from each other. She goes, I'm not going to tell him anything because he doesn't listen. And he's going, I'm not going to tell her. I'm not going to help her because she doesn't take my advice. And so now we got a rift in communication, not because we're not talking to each other, because we are. It's because we don't understand why we're talking to each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I mean, there's so many dynamics to it, and that's the thing. It's like a science. I mean, you know how you got together. Right. You know how you got together in the beginning. A lot of times you got together in the beginning because of some, you know, of course, physical attraction or something like that. And, you know, that can carry you only so far. But if you are truly interested in engaging in a fulfilling, lifelong relationship with somebody, then, I mean, you really have to decide to be a relationship scientist or engineer, whatever. You have to decide to really dig into that and like just make it your daily goal to not just change the relationship, but make a change about yourself so that you can put your best foot forward to connect and communicate for the betterment of the relationship.
Yeah, that's the big part. So it's not even... You don't have to become a love engine. Like I tell people, like, this is truly the call of my life, and I just see it differently. But the bigger piece is being willing to remain open and to always assume positive intent. Because like you say, you got together with this person, and in the beginning, it's easy because you're doing everything, right? So you're calling, you're talking, you're touching, you're playing, you're doing so many things at the beginning because it's new, right?
You're having fun, yes.
And you're exploring so many things. And so even the parts that miss, the parts where they miss on, or the parts you miss on, are overlooked because there's so many other things that are making up for that. But once you get into a groove, you kind of, you know, it all settles down. You know, kind of like when you shake something up, it's like everything is over. But then it settles to the bottom, and you're like, oh, wait, I can actually see what this is.
Right. Look at that sediment at the bottom. Oh,
look at this stuff at the bottom. Like, wait, what is in that? Where it was all shook up and stuff. You couldn't tell exactly what it was, and you didn't know how much of it was there.
Yeah, and it's like, wait, is that a bug? Oh, my
right,
goodness.
Wait, but, you know, it's like, but you were drinking it at first, and it's fine, the bug won't kill you, but you have to then decide, how do I continue to, you know, what part of this do I really want to enjoy? What part of this am I okay with? Or what part of this am I going to just have to be okay, I'm going to live with? Because, again, all of that's a part of that person. And the same thing, you got some stuff in you that's a part of you.
Mm-hmm. Is there a point where you can just keep shaking it up?
You can. You can keep shaking it up, but you won't be able to do that indefinitely. It's kind of like
Isn't that a delusion?
It is a delusion. You cannot keep shaking it up. You cannot.
You're going to have to just let it settle and deal with the sediment, huh?
Let it settle, but then more importantly, not even deal with it, but appreciate it. I think that's the other piece. We spend so much time trying to make people right or wrong or fix them. It's like, no. A part of what makes them them is all of that stuff that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And they get to choose to be better. Like, the fastest way to get for somebody to be better is to love them as they currently are.
Yes, not just the parts that you like about them, just the whole person. And that's what we have a hard time doing. Yes.
But that's because we don't love all the parts of us. Because, again, like I said, love is just a mirror. And so whatever parts you have a hard time accepting in another, just know that that's feedback to you about there are some parts of you, too, that you are having a hard time accepting and loving. And
that's
once
right.
you can find a way to do it in you, then it becomes really easy to do it in another person.
And that's even hard to accept, that to say that I'm looking in the mirror and what I see that gets on my nerves is a part of me. I mean, who wants to admit that?
No one wants to admit that, which is why relationships struggle so much, because, again, I want to make you the problem.
Right.
Because what I'm doing is deflecting from the truth is that within me, I have also identified something that I've labeled a problem. And so I won't deal with mine, so I'm going to deal with yours. But you can't fix I can't fix yours. I can only address mine. And that's how come relationships, people struggle so much, is because, again, like I said, the struggle is because you're trying to fix something that you actually cannot fix.
Right.
It's like literally fighting with your shadow.
Oh my gosh.
Ooh, not realizing that if you just face the light, if you turn the other way and face the light, then the shadow goes away by itself.
And the light is the truth.
The light is the truth.
Yes.
And if you can face the light and walk toward the light, literally walk toward the light, then the shadow you will never have to worry about. But we don't. We turn our backs to the truth, and then we fight the shadows.
Wow. You know, and I wonder how many people are willing to actually, you know, because I study my own relationship, of course, but I mean, I study couples surfacely, like, you know, like you see people walking in the store and you're like, how in the world did they get together? You know, you know, but that's just, again, that's just surface. I wonder how many people are truly interested in not being lopsided, because when you're not interested in going forward and digging through these issues, your relationship is very lopsided, and it's visible. It is very visible. And I don't have a goal in life to look like everyone else's lopsided relationship. I want to be very parallel and very transparent, and not only for our relationship, but for other people that need help, because we're not given like strong instruction as children. We come from a lot of broken places. I mean,
absolutely.
Of course, when we talk about broken places, our parents, if they were ever married at all, then they got divorced, then drugs came in, and just all kind of different broken things that we haven't seen as far as relationships. We haven't really learned to communicate. We, you know, as children, we were told, you just better do it. Don't ask questions. You know, so where is it that we should have learned communication? I mean, there's nowhere that we should have learned communication because of how we were brought up. So how in the world are we supposed to even know how to communicate in relationships when we get there?
No, so I think to your point, the family is where you were supposed to learn it, but that's literally why I do the work I do with Dessert and Discussion, and that's also why I created the War on Love card game. That's literally why it was created. It's to do just that. It's to foster this ability to communicate and connect, deepen intimacy, open connections, because the way you get to it is by questions. That's how it works.
And the sense of questions, I guess. I mean, because, you know, some people, I'm assuming, would kind of be offended.
not even so much offended question, because again, like I said, there is a way of because you know, words are like 7% of all communication, right? That other 90-something% is has nothing to do with the words. So it's not the words that are spoken; it is usually the spirit in which they're spoken. Like that is that comes through long before whatever you say does.
That's true.
And so you can ask just about any question you want of anyone, frankly, if the spirit in which you're doing it is right.
Right, and vice versa.
There are some things you can't ask. You can't ask for a cup of water in the wrong spirit.
No.
Because people feel that first. And so the game is created to do that, just to give you an opportunity to ask the question. But the way you play it, there's a choice and a chance. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's a randomness to it. So nobody has to worry about, like, wait, why are you asking me that question? It's like, well, I didn't ask. You can blame it all on the game. It's like, well, it just happens to be the card that fell.
Right.
And so
it just happens to be what I need to say to you anyway. But, yeah, the card said it.
But the card asked it. And so now that we're talking about it, what about this? And it's fun and it's provocative and it's exciting and you are, but there's no problem with it. Whereas most of the time we have a thing that happened and then now we want to talk about it and we want to talk really deeply about it. And people are like, wait, what?
Right.
And I tell you, it's like, you know, it's kind of like any relationship. Like when you need to learn to communicate, it's not in the moment of the problem. You need to have those skills beforehand. It's kind of like studying, you know, learning to read the night before the test.
Yeah.
No, you need to know how to read long before the test shows up, because when you get to the test, that's a whole different challenge that's going to show up there.
Right.
And so this building of relationship skills, like the dessert and discussion, is one way that we do it. Because again, unless you do it and learn and get some perspective, like, oh, that's interesting, I'll keep that in my back. I'll put that in my toolbox for later before I have an incident. Same thing with the game, where it's like, oh, we can play. And it's like, oh, he feels like that about whatever the question might be, whether it could be infidelity, it could be kids, it could be a billion things. Or she feels like that about me helping or whatever it might be. But you do it away from the incident or the circumstance that would cause you to have to talk about it.
Now, let me ask you this, because, I mean, you clearly are an expert in what you're doing. How much research did you have to do before you actually put the game together?
So I didn't do, you know, I guess I shouldn't say any. I did the 10, 15 years beforehand of research, right? So my whole, I've been paying attention to relationships, and I didn't realize how much so, because I was a little girl, right? So I was always trying to figure out, like, how things work, why they work, if somebody was happy, if somebody was mad. I was reading columns of magazines as a, like, 11-year-old, of teen magazines. So I've just always been fascinated. And at the time, of course, I didn't realize this would be life, or this would even be the pursuit that I would go down.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always done it. But a lot of the questions that are in Dessert and Discussions, that come up in Dessert and Discussion, found their way into the card game, because I've done it across the country and even outside of the U.S., and I realized some of the questions are the same across the world. It's not just you and your partner, and I think that's the other fun part about it. You realize, like, it's not just us. It's a human experience when it comes to certain relationships. And so a lot of it was just informed by what I would hear from the live events I would do, you know, or social media stuff, or just things I literally just wanted to have answered.
Yes.
Is how it came to be.
Yes, yes. Now, let me ask you, in your own relationships, I can only imagine, you know, you have put these things to work. Did you find that these tools worked in your relationships in the past, in trying to move forward, even for clarity for yourself in some things?
Absolutely. And I think that's the beauty of all of this, right, is that when you're done well, it's you who you understand better.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me personally, absolutely. Like, so there's a whole lot where it's like, ooh, that's why this keeps not working. Or when you say that every time, that's going to end this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Or what are you afraid of? Or, oh, why are you uncomfortable asking or answering that question?
Mm. Okay.
And so it was, so I get to play it a lot, obviously, with people around me, but even in my own relationship, and I tell people all the time, I can just post this on Facebook and it's hilarious. Like, you got all this relationship advice, you know, but, you know, how are you not married yet? I was like, in a quote underneath, it's like, coaches don't play. and I just kind of cracked up where it's like, no, I have studied the game, and understand that in a way that nobody does. And because of my background, because of my experiences and things of that sort. But at the end of the day, when it comes to the practice of relationships, I'm like everybody else, right? You gotta square up, get in it, and then still grow as you go.
Yes,
and I'm no different than that. And so there are still some areas where, because of my past and upbringing and all this other good stuff, where there are moments where I'm like, ooh, I still gotta grow in this area.
Right.
But
right.
I also am it's the blessing and the curse is that I can also see what's happening in the moment where I'm just like, oh, I see where this is going. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, how do I stop it? But in the moment, I'm like everybody else where I was like, nope, you throw the free throw up, you're like, nope, that's a little off to the left.
Right.
Food over, right? You know, but the ball is already out of my hand. It's in the air at this point, right? But I at least know. And I, you know, it's not the end of the world where I'm like, oh, okay, just adjust. And so in my own relationship, I have to make quite a few adjustments. And I'm, like I said, still growing and learning personally. But the how and why it works and the ability to coach and provide direction on how other people can, phenomenal at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that what you're doing is very needed. Let me just say that. And again, I appreciate, you know, the fact that you came on our show as soon as you did. Like, sometimes when I approach people, they're like, oh yeah, 2 weeks from December, and it's like, okay, no, I found you now. But no, you came on, and what we're talking about is so relevant. You know, we're entrepreneurs, and we are dealing with other entrepreneurs, and this is an entrepreneurial endeavor. So let's go into that piece. So what did you have to do to actually put this game together? Because we have people, matter of fact, I just spoke with someone who said that they're putting a game together and they're dealing with the, prototype right now. So how would one go ahead and put a game together if that's something they were interested in doing?
I think first it starts with deciding, again, what's the idea. So for me, it was important because I think relationships in and of themselves are complicated at times and can be difficult. I wanted something that was easy to play. That was important for me because, again, the topic was already going to be heavy, and I wanted you to be able to get into it pretty quickly. So the first thing is decide what type of user experience you want your users to have. Two, lay out, you know, kind of what, again, to what end, like how do people win the game, right? In the war on love, you know, it's like winning is just simply your card, high card or high heart wins, and you get to choose. That's how you get to win in this one. And you get to add your own rules in mind, but decide how do you want this game to be played? Right? Because they'll be looking to you. And then it's a matter of, once you figured out what I want it to be, what I want them to experience, then it's a matter of, you know, going out and identifying, like, who can help do that. In my case, I started searching board game and card manufacturers, right? Because my game is in a card format. But once you decide what the format is, it's like, who has something already like it?
Yes.
And find, or something close to it, because I get it. Everybody's like, no, mine is the most unique ever. And it's like, okay. Find something similar.
Like, no.
And go to the stores or even enter out of the stores. So that would, you know, is look at who manufactures that game. Because on the back of most boxes, it tells you, like, who manufactured it, potentially. Like, manufacturer or
Mattel
or who's
somebody
the point.
Like that,
or,
yeah.
And you can reach out, potentially, to, you know, if it's on a big name, you can do that. Or Fiverr. Fiverr is my favorite resource for everybody. Like, so I go to Fiverr for all kinds of things. So just type in what you're looking for. Game designer. You'll have a whole bunch of people show up, research what they do, and then reach out to them. And so I think the biggest part is just decide that you're going to create a game. That's the first part. Decide you're going to create it, and then the rest of it will fall into play. Because actually, for me, creating the card game was not incredibly difficult. It just wasn't, because, again, I was just, the decision had already been made. It was like, this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And once that part was done, then I didn't have, then nothing, like, I didn't have to worry about, like, and then what about the graphics? I mean, because you can get caught up in a lot of little details that completely abort the project before it even gets off the ground.
You're talking to somebody a year and a half ago. Absolutely. Because you're like, how am I supposed to put all these things together? And then you look at other people and how they did it or whatever. You just don't understand how they did it. That's why I'm having you talk about it, because we have some innovators out there that just have no idea. And like you said, the little, the smallest details make you abort your mission.
Yeah. And usually, what, like I said, if you get under, because mind you, I'm the cause and effect girl. So I'm like, what's underneath that? Oftentimes the thing that's underneath that is actually fear. There's, you're afraid of something. I'm afraid it's not going to work. I'm afraid it's not going to be good. I'm afraid it's going to cost too much. I'm afraid of, figure out what that is and eliminate that first. Because once that is gone and there is not, there's no blockage to like, oh, I'm going to bring the game forward, then it comes forward. You'll run into people who are like, oh, I know somebody who does blah, 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 blah. Because that's how my game how I ended up finding the manufacturer for it, because I reached out to one place and they were like, no, they wouldn't do it because it had questions of sexual content. So they wouldn't produce it. It's like, oh, but I know someone who might produce it for you. And sure enough, they put me in touch with that manufacturer, and to this day, that's who manufactures my game. And so, but again, it didn't matter to me because the game was going to be created, even if I had to go find a local printer and who was going to do it by hand.
Okay.
Because the game was going to be created, because I knew it was important.
Yes, so, absolutely.
To get that like undeniable belief that this thing has to come to the market, and then the resources, the people, the what you need, like I said, literally will show up for you. And even if the first few stops are like, oh, that didn't work, ask them, do they know someone else?
Because
in this day and age, there's nothing that can't be done. So I'm like, Elon Musk just put like a Tesla into outer space. At this point, there aren't many things that cannot be done.
Right. And you'd be surprised at things that have already been done that you think haven't, like you said, you know, people are like, oh, my game's original, and it's like, no, it's actually already been done before.
There's very few original anything. There's just different, there's innovative spins on, and maybe it is original, that, and I'm, you know, I won't take that from anybody. Let's say yes, it's original. I'm like, great, but if you don't bring it to the market, it is ineffective.
That's true. That's true. And that's like the quote that, you know, Robert just said the other day. There's so much money in the graveyard, and that's because people don't bring their invention to the graveyard, to the forefront. So they end up dying with these tremendous ideas that could have made them lots of money and made actual changes in the world and the way that we live today.
Yeah, that's the big piece, is recognizing that there is a gift. And for me, that's what it became, where it's, you know, I call them divine downloads. You know, so my faith is huge for me. And I would get these. It's like no, you got that idea. Not because you just sat around. It's like, no, you are the person to bring that idea to life. Like, that has to come through. Like, God is trying to get it to earth, and the only way it comes is through somebody.
Right.
You are the somebody with the idea. So you are the person that got tapped by the divine to bring it forward. So it's like, you have to. Like, what are you doing? Like, there are people who are missing out on whatever they're supposed to be getting to because you have the key that they need for the next step. Don't be that person.
So with what you just said right there, because, and I totally agree with you, but on a, not but, so like I have a gang of ideas, you know, you say, you know, God puts it on you to bring those ideas into reality. So I guess you are blessed when he just continues to give you ideas and create options for you. I would assume, because I'm like, all this stuff that's going on in my head, I sometimes like, okay, I know I'm not going to do all of this, and I think that they're a really good idea. So at what point do you say, well, that's an option, these just options, you know, and is that point with being able to be blessed with so many different ideas, would you consider that as a blessing?
Yes. So I believe that the ability to think and come up with creative thoughts and ideas, I do think that is a blessing, because not everybody has that, one. But two, there is a part that says, I will focus, or I'll pick a lane, right? Because sometimes the creation of ideas, that creation, cycle, as I like to call it, where I just come up with new ideas, especially if I'm not bringing them forward, because then that becomes just a circle. Because I don't have to commit to anything, because I just keep coming up with new thoughts and ideas. And for many creators, that I think that's a challenge, is because, again, you are creative. That's what creators do. They create. But you also get to bring it forth. But the other reality is like, be clear. It's like, if it's an idea that has to come forward, if you don't bring it forward, you will be watching TV and see it.
You're right.
Because it will go on, because, I mean, in the book Big Magic, and I think Elizabeth Gilbert put it probably perfectly, like this idea that, she called it, like, ideas are, are spirits. I don't know if I agree with that, but let's just go with that theory. But the notion was, it's like, it comes to you, where it's like, hey, I would like to come forward in physical form. Will you bring me forward? And if you get the idea and you don't bring it forward, the idea is not like, I'm going to just die because you didn't do it. It's like, no, thank you, because clearly we can't partner on this. And it goes to another person.
That's true.
And that idea, so that's how come you walking through the store one day, or you watching on TV, or you see an event, and you're like, I thought of that. And it's like, no. It's like, I came to you. You were busy. You were doing something, and it was at this time you couldn't bring me forward, but it was time for me to come forward. So I found a willing partner, and I think that's how ideas work. Where it's like, no, if you don't bring me forward, that's okay. If it's needed on this earth, it is coming forward.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
It just may not be coming forward through you.
Right, and I know that I've had that happen, and what I've had to do is kind of pacify myself and say, oh well, God's blessed me with a magnificent brain, and I'll think of some other things.
You absolutely will, because, I mean, there's plenty of ideas that need somebody to bring them forward. It's like, you will get another one. Like, so that is true, but when you see that happening, where it's like, because, again, whoever that was for, or whomever it's supposed to get to, like, those people are still needing that.
Right.
And it's like, if you're not going to do it, it's kind of like, if you don't take me, I'm going to still go.
Mm-hmm.
I just may not go in your car.
Exactly. And you know what? I think people need to, especially on the level that Robert and I are on, it's not diminishing anyone else, but we have to move beyond the Shark Tank idea. Because I see a lot of people where their idea and dream is, well, if I just get on Shark Tank. Well, I believe that if the Most High has blessed you with an idea, you don't have to have Shark Tank. Shark Tank could be one way to get there, but he offers, many ways to get there, So you just have to continue on in the belief and keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Don't drop the ball. Keep moving forward. And Keisha Mabry, she wrote a book called Hey Friend. She's here in St. Louis. I don't know if you run across her yet. Uh-uh. Okay, you should know her when you get here. But yeah, she wrote this book called Hey Friend, and somebody asked her, like, when you were working a job, how in the world did you make time to actually get this book out? And she said that what she used to do, even though she worked for somebody else, she refused to give herself the least of her work. So she would get up extra early in the morning and put her all into her work, her book, so that she would give herself her best. And we have to do that. If we put our best into it, you better believe that God is watching that, and he will definitely bless you with, like you said, those people. Just all of a sudden, these wonderful divine connections will be made, and before you know it, you'll be in production.
Yep, and it's coming forward. And I think the part that you touched on, and this idea of, giving your best, it may not be all the time in the world, because I think there's an illusion in this entrepreneur space, and having been there and done that, this notion of like, oh my God, if I just didn't have my day job, I could do so much better, or I could move forward in such a big way. Usually it's just another like convenient excuse for like why I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because you're not leaving your job, you're not going to do something drastic like that, and so now it becomes another really conveniently packaged story for why you're not going to bring this idea forward. And I say that having left the corporate job, so walked away from corporate with that same mindset of, I need, you know, and not even because it's like, oh, I couldn't do it. I had plenty of times, like, I could do so much more if I didn't have a job. Mm-hmm. I just went back to that same corporation in November, because what I found is that I didn't enjoy solopreneurship at all. Right? Mm. I would wake up, I'd just be at the house by myself, and I'd be working on all this stuff. But the reality is that when I have more to do, I get more done.
Hmm. Yeah.
But when I had all day to do it, it would take me all day to do something small. And so the notion of I need to quit my job in order to be effective or to launch a business or to do anything like that. And mind you, I created the game and did all of that stuff while I was working a job. All of that, I was still in corporate at that time. And now that I've been back, same thing. I've gotten so much more done in the time frame of being back. So it's like, so don't delude yourself into believing that there's something else that's keeping you from doing and following your passion or bringing the business forward. Because usually what it is there's some fear, some belief, or some story that is keeping you from bringing that forward. So don't quit your job thinking, then I'm going to be better. Because again, whatever's keeping you from doing it now, it's also going to keep you from doing it then.
Right. Well, you definitely can't use the job as an excuse. But I'm definitely all for people really diving into their entrepreneurial endeavors. If that means you need to leave your job to do it, I mean, I think that you have to have an exit plan to do those things. But everybody's different, you know. Like I know, like you said, for you, you know, the more things that you have to do, the more you get done. That's me too. If I sit around, like if I have one thing to do, and I have all day to do it, I mean, Yeah, I will go and eat something, and then I'll lay down, and then I'll get up, and then I'll be like, oh, I need to go here. Oh, I still have 3 hours to do it, and then before you know it, it just really won't get done. But if I have, like, a list, I mean, all that comes in planning for me, like, in the daytime. If I have a list of the things that I need to check off in the day, then I'll get them done, and I'm just more organized that way. So I can definitely relate to that, but I think that it just comes down to we have to know ourselves and how we process things and how best we can get them done. So like you said, in the game, there's no right or wrong. There is no right or wrong, but there is a more effective. I will say that.
Yep. That's it. Mm-hmm. Just be do what makes you most effective. If quitting is what makes you most effective, then by all means, it's just be really clear about what that means. Because there's a bunch of people who are like, no, you actually have to quit to go do that in a big way. Because you don't have the time, right? But again, it's like if truly time is the thing you lack, then that makes sense. But it's like, nope, see if you open up more time if you rechange your habits, whether it's TV, whether it's social media. Like, there's so much time we spend that we could be putting towards something.
Oh, yeah.
That we just don't. So that's just that would be my other, that's the thing that I've had to learn from myself.
Yes, and you're definitely right. We do have some time wasters that happen, and I don't mean like your pleasurable activities. I mean like just totally being like a frumpadinka, you know, just kind of like not doing stuff. But like it's true, if you get started early, like even in your thinking, if you get started early in your thinking, I find that that's more effective for everybody. You know, and that comes with like meditation in the morning. And when I say meditation, I'm not talking about anything outside of what I'm talking about. I'm not into extra stuff, but just having that thought process and just knowing, hey, that I have some things to do here, and thinking about how you're going to put those things together, it just makes you more equipped to execute those things that you need to get done. Robert, what do you think about all that?
Yeah, I was going to chime in right there anyway, because, you know, here lately I had got back on the program of actually for myself getting up at 4:45, and you know, when you don't practice a thing and it's not a habit, when you fall out of habit, it's hard to, well, I ain't gonna say it's hard, but it's tough regaining those habits that work. But I noticed when I got up at 4:45 in the morning, and you know, I'm cleaned up, I'm prayed up, you know, and now I'm scheduling the times, I'm making time to do things that I know I need to do before the businesses are open. You write down in your book what you need to do. So when you organize your time, and then to get up at 4:45 means that you have to really discipline yourself to go to bed early at night. Because, I mean, what reason, as an entrepreneur, what reason are we really staying up late night anyway? Some of us have late night habits. That's fine.
But, yeah, that's me.
But for me, I'm saying, and I used to be a night owl. My dad was a night owl. I mean, that's all I ever been around. But then when I became an entrepreneur, I said that was, for me, was not the most successful thing for me to do. So to go to bed early and then to get up early, I'm not in the streets. And as an entrepreneur, if your business is in the daytime, you're not in the streets. So rest is important. Rest is important. And early morning rise before, hours before the traditional business day starts, early morning rise gives you a great head start on everything that you have to do. And most of the times when you get up early like that anyway, most of what you have set down, wrote out, mapped out, you get accomplished in a very short period of time. Before 12 o'clock, you're done with everything that you need to do. And so the biggest thing is actually being disciplined on whatever it is that we do. Having a discipline, a routine is best. A routine is best. It disciplines you to be successful. You can't just be successful by shooting from the hip.
Well, most definitely. I think that that's true. But on that note, there's a scripture here in Proverbs that talks about yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Let's see. The poverty will come on you like a thief and scarcity like an armed man. So if you just chilling, you know, way too much, you know, the poverty, that's why it comes on you. You know, you got to plan out these things like Brother Robert's talking about. Get up in the morning so that you can have these things in order. Go to bed at night so that you can have rest. I mean, you don't want to rest in the wrong times. If you're resting all throughout the day, how are you getting things done? It just doesn't happen that way. But what we need to do now is, Alex, we would love to connect with you when you come to St. Louis. We would love to be part of what it is that you have put together. Like if you're putting together a meet and greet in St. Louis, we definitely want to be on that and do some live with you and all that good old stuff. But how can the people connect with your network and get involved?
Absolutely. So when I am in St. Louis for my next experience, I will let you know. I don't have any upcoming. There's quite a few here in the Twin Cities area, though. But you can follow me at dessertanddiscussion.com. So dessert, two S's, and discussion, A-N-D, discussion.com. So dessertanddiscussion.com. Or you can check out the War on Love Game at thewaronlovegame.com as well. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram also as Dessert and Discussion, and on Twitter at The Alex Merritt.
Okay, and I want to add something to that. Now, you know, I noticed you're trying to help people spell discussions. You know how you, or I'm sorry, it's dessert. You know how you help people remember how to spell dessert versus desert?
How?
Okay, so a dessert, you always want to. A desert, you don't want to.
I've not heard that. I like that. I like that. I like that.
Hold on. A dessert, you always want to.
You want two of them. You want two desserts. Two S's. A desert, you don't want to. I mean, desert has one S. Dessert has two.
Right.
That's like the Will Smith thing all over again. Inside joke. Okay, well, Alex, we want to definitely thank you. And what we're going to do is we're going to play your War on Love YouTube as our commercial. But we definitely thank you for joining us, and we will talk to you really soon, okay?
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, ma'am.
Have a good one.
You too. Go ahead, Scotty. Oh, I sent it to you. It's right there in the comments.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Provocative questions about love, sex, and relationships that, but for the cards, you'd have no reason to even ask. So it lets men and women, again, game night, date night, girls night, doesn't really matter, lets them ask those questions that, you know, let you really get to know somebody when it comes to relationships. So you play it like you play war, except it's love. And so if there's two people, you can deal all the cards out. But if there's a group, the way we commonly play, we just sit the deck in the middle of the table and two people at a time flip. The high card or the high heart wins. Whoever wins gets to pick up both of the cards and they get to decide which of those questions everybody gets to discuss. And so it's a game where you get the choice and the chance to have the discussion about, like I said, love, sex, and relationships.
Three words. Every woman wants whispered in her ear.
Biggest turn off for me would be
Do you believe in love at first sight? And I do.
The reason to break up.
If you could be the opposite sex for one day, what would you do?
But it's the game that allows you to communicate. We always talk about how communication is such a hard thing when it comes to relationships, but the truth of the matter is it's just that sometimes people don't know how to get the conversation started. They don't know how to start communicating about the things that they really want to talk about. And so this is the game that lets you do that. There's nothing like it. There's absolutely nothing like it.
All right. Well, that was Alex. You guys make sure that you tune into her network. I'm telling you, we have placed all the information in Blacks in Business Radio. You can go there, Blacks in Business Radio Facebook page. You can go there, again, www.dessertanddiscussion.com. On Instagram, she's Dessert and Discussion. Facebook, she's Dessert and Discussion. Twitter, she's what is it? The Alex Merritt. That's what it says. The Alex Merritt. But yes, definitely check her out because these things need to be talked about. I mean, I so appreciate this information that we brought forth today. What about you, Robert?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, the black community, well, we suffer from, toxic, relationships, past toxic relationships, and we just don't have any type of healing process, the correct healing process. And we had a show back in the day with the mental health therapist, and all of this goes right hand in hand together. We have to find a way to heal and a way to build black relationships.
Right. And we can start that. I think the biggest thing is we try to do it on a large scale, and we have to start right within our own homes. That's what it is. Because when you start trying to do it on a large scale, you kind of forget about the little guy, which is your house. What is it? The squeaky wheel. I can't even think of the same. I was trying to make a point.
The squeaky wheel gets the oil.
That's it. The squeaky wheel gets the oil, right. So we have to be the squeaky wheel in our own households and, build from our own families. If you are teaching your children to be entrepreneurs, that's not to say that they won't go to, quote, the white man's college, and they won't go work on the white man's job and all these things that we talk about. I don't mean to laugh, but I mean, it's just real. We know that our children, a lot of times will go work a job, because sometimes they rebel against our entrepreneurial hustle. But I like to think that at least you have equipped them with the tools to go out and do something for themselves. Something. You've sparked the interest in them. Even if they decide to be something opposite of what you have taught, they at least have it down in them for when they need it. You've done your part. And you just continue on living that example. And like the prodigal child, they will soon come home. That's what I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You just keep on plugging at it. and be the best example that you know to be.
Mm-hmm.
And even along the way, know that even in our, at our best, that we still need help. At our best, at what we think is our best, we still can use some help, additional help, to make us better.
Oh, absolutely. And that's a prideful thing sometimes. We don't ask for help, or we ask help for help from the wrong places. And I mean, that's a thing that we have to, you know, as entrepreneurs, we have to be trained on constantly how to get the right help, you know, because getting help is a science within itself. Because I can know how to get help in one area of my life, but then when I apply that to business, it may not be the right type of help. It may not be the right situation. So I have to really invest in, you know, knowing how to do these things. That's why it's important that we bring people on like Ruth. What is Ruth's last name? I just lost it really quick. The lady we had on a couple weeks ago. Let me look her up real quick because I lost her name. That is not smart. Hold on. Let me see. Ruth.
That was the lady in Atlanta too, right?
Yes, she is in Marietta. Ruth King, that's her name. Ruth King.
Right.
You know, we had Ruth King on a couple of weeks ago, and I hope you all have tapped into her profitability network, profitability paradigm, because she talks about all these different things. You know, she's done several different businesses, and she's been an entrepreneur since she was a child. And if you need help on learning how to hire the proper people in your business, you should definitely tap into her information and the book that she wrote. What was the book that she wrote? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember the name of the title of that
book. Google is, it's called The Ugly Truth About Small Business, 50 Things That Can Go Wrong and What You Can Do About It. Okay. I mean, that book alone, just the stories that she's collected for small business, and you know, particularly in how to hire people, I mean, it's just it's gold. It's just really gold. But yeah, so you know, I just kind of left this hour open. We can talk about what you want to talk about.
I'm actually was thinking about our show. Because you know, we just talked to Scotty just last week about the website, and I was talking to a person today at the flea market about our show and why I feel our show is very significant, and the premises of why the show exists, and you know, it just hit me while we were sitting on the phone. Talking with the young lady about why the website is definitely what we should be focusing on, because the people that come on our show have products that the people need, and we have a host, a wealth of information and products, and every show that we have ever done is something that the people that's listening could be able to tap into. Our website and purchase these items from the site. So we definitely going forward with BIB Blacks in Business, the website, to offer so many different things that this show has been able to bring to our people. And you know, sometimes I think about how such valuable information, because of familiarity, a lot of times we take, you know, the people that are closest around us for granted. And again, I just got to really shout you out, Cece, for a phenomenal job that you do with this show. I mean, with the guests that you bring onto the show, just a phenomenal job at making Blacks in Business Radio a show that I can say I'm actually very proud of myself, you know, because I know we reach, and our intention is to reach the everyday common man and woman that may have an ideal or may have a thought about becoming an entrepreneur, but may not have the courage or the information enough
or the motivation or whatever it may be to do that. And here at this show, we try to make it seem so simple, and it really not seem simple, but it really is very simple to launch your ideal once you get past the fear, as the young lady was saying earlier, the fear or laziness or cowardliness. Once you get past that, and trust me, people, once it clicks, once it literally clicks in your mind to do it, when you make up your mind to do it, you won't regret making the switch over to entrepreneurship. Meaning, when you get solid information that we have brought to you by way of CC, by way of myself, Brother Robert, by way of our guests, you really don't have a hurdle after that other than yourself to get, you know, to the next side of the coin, the other side of the coin. So, again, I just have to thank you, CC, for the tremendous and wonderful job you have done with this show. And I just look forward to doing some bigger things with BIB Blacks in Business, Blacks in Business Radio, with Scotty and his and the network that we're on, Black Talk Radio Network. I thank the both of you guys. You know, but CC, I really got to give you your flowers. You deserve them. You have done a phenomenal job. And again, I just want to continue to keep on doing the work that we've been doing for our people, you know, through BIB Radio.
Wow. Well, I mean, I don't even know what to say. I feel like I'm on an award show tonight. Like I'm standing here in a gown with a golden trophy. I mean, I appreciate it. Thank you. And you two have done a phenomenal job helping me host the show. I appreciate, you know, you being there to help me. I mean, because it's just, I mean, I couldn't think of anybody else that I want to do it with. And of course, thank you, Scotty. I mean, because no, seriously, like, I mean, I've had a couple of shows before this one, or I've been on a couple of shows before this one. And I don't know. I don't really know that the balance was there. Maybe it just, I don't know. I just think the balance wasn't there. But, you know, I think we do a good job of just really making it happen for us. And I just look for more to come, you know, with the, you found somebody to do our theme song. That's going to be really good. We're going to have our website pretty soon. And I hope to, you know, and I see a lot of people kind of patterning themselves after, you know, what we have created, which is fine. You know, it's fine. We just have to continue being who we need to be and be that strong example of a Black corporation, which is what we are, a Black corporation moving forward and just setting that fine example. I think that soon we'll be doing you know, Blacks in Business events like we just had Alex on. I would love to collaborate with her and bring the War on Love game and collaborate with Blacks in Business and do it at a Black-owned dessert place. I don't know who we would get with for the dessert place, but I'm sure there's plenty of Black-owned dessert places. She said that she does her events in... I think she's in Milwaukee. We could definitely travel to Milwaukee and see how it's done. I mean, I'm just looking forward to us traveling more and just really getting into seeing what entrepreneurs are doing around the country, not just doing it on radio, but actually going there and getting a visual and bringing people visual as well as radio. I mean, there's just so many things that are at the forefront for us for this network.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about about an award show. I literally see it in my mind, you know, BIB award show, entrepreneur award shows, you know, the greatest entrepreneurs that are in the Black community. And I literally see this in my mind. I mean, our logo, I see this as being the catalyst of Black excellence, you know. Mm-hmm. And you, when you talk about, you know, bringing things, when God give you something to to do, as he did. When I mean, this whole BIB thing, it's bigger, and I always say that it is much bigger than myself and yourself. It's much bigger than us, because the logo itself, let's just talk about the logo for a second. The logo, when it was created, it was to kind of be like the shape of the earth as we thought it was, but the earth is oblong. When you know it, it's oblong shape. It's not perfectly round, but nevertheless, we took a round circle and to make that look global. And then the crown is the crown that is a cross between the male, the king's crown, and the queen's crown. So we made that universal in the whole design of the crown. Then the BIB, the way it sits in the center, the I is cradling both the black and the business, and that comes together with the I. So it's a universal logo. The intent was to create a universal logo, and the slogan, wherever there are black people, we are blacks in business. Wherever blacks are in business, we are blacks in business. And that was the whole intent. The intent was for this to be a global phenomenon. And not only for it to be a global phenomenon, where you can identify blacks in business anywhere on the planet Earth that you go, it was also created to where during the time where the young brother got shot and killed by the police here.
Mike Brown,
right. Well, at that time, you know, on the heels of that, I think that's when I spent a little relaxation time in the backseat of my Audi Minium, as you first heard it was, my Audi that I was, that had a brush of homelessness for a few days or whatever. And, yeah. And so in that moment where the Mike Brown incident was going on, that the thought was, for me, what was on my mind, how do black people know when they're rioting that they're not busting and breaking into black people's businesses if you're rioting? So it was like, well, they need some type of identity to make it known that this is a black owned store. Now, this is not to say that rioting is good to break into white folks' store versus black folks' store. I'm not endorsing any of that, at you know, for good reasons. But the point that I was trying to get out there to our people is, if you breaking into your own people's store, we're the least people, the last people that need to be having anybody. The break into our store. So I wanted to have an identity, something that they can identify with, that will be in every black owned store, BIB, blacks in business. And those people that was rioting, unless they was a bunch of white folks rioting, then they would give that store a pass. Now, and the plan was to actually create clothing and hats that this logo will be on, and actually have the rappers sport it. And the reason I thought that the rappers would, and all the entertainers would, and the sports celebrities would that are black, is the fact that they are black. And they would understand the hell that black men and women have gone through in America. A lot of them do understand it, and a lot of them probably would support that. So this thing was not just something that just came into creation just at a whim. You know, it definitely has purpose, and it has a mission. It has a mission. BIB Blacks in Business has a mission. BIB Radio is the voice of blacks in business. And so it does have a mission, and it has a purpose. And it was and is a godsend. It didn't just come to me just I mean, something I thought of to make money out of. It wasn't, it never was about the money, as it was more so about informing our people about how to go into business, what information you need to be able to stay in the business. You know, you don't know, but what you need to know is you need to meet with the manufacturer instead of the wholesaler. You need to know how to buy the real estate and own the real estate and incorporate the business into the real estate. And I shouldn't say own the real estate anymore. You need to know how to incorporate, then control the real estate and control the businesses. It's a difference, and it's a great liability difference. So this thing, it has potential to be great. I mean, we're in over 72 different cities right now, BIB, Blacks in Business. When as I said earlier, when a person goes live, and like when you go live, CC, I just hit share to all the different cities, and that's 72 BIB, Blacks in Business. I ain't touching none of your other pages that other people have created, because by the time I get through sharing with the 72, I'm done. I'm tired, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, I just wanted to share that with the listening audience. We have something that, you know, we're building on, and that something that all our people can benefit from, and there are a lot of platforms out here that Black people need to listen to, you know, survival platform, love platforms, and business platforms, and when you're talking about economics, you're talking about love, you're talking about health, you're talking about, you know, all these other issues. Everything has to have a priority in your life, you know, and you have to know what is at the top of your priority list. And I know, you know, having some sanity is at the top of my priority list, but I think I'm not as sane when I'm broke. So that's why, for me personally, the whole ideal of giving a person a way to create income, for me, is the most practical, but the most, I mean, sane thing for me to do. This is what BIB is here to do for our listening audience. So I just wanted to, man, I'm so passionate about that. I just wanted to just share that and let the people that didn't know about it, just let give you all a chance to hear that, and then help us build BIB Radio, help us build Black Talk Radio Network, help us build Blacks in Business. If you see it on Facebook in your city, please, please share. Matter of fact, whenever you see something that Black people are doing and it's a positive thing, sharing is almost equivalent to spending your dollar with the Black-owned business. If you share it, keep sharing it, because the more that you put us out there, the greater the potential of us getting that one customer or that one investor that may look into something that we're doing and say, I want to bag you guys up, you know. But if you don't share it, it's just as bad as you knowing that we sell a product that you use and then you go to Walmart and pay a dollar more rather than come to us. So, you know, help any Black business that treats you fairly, that respects you when you come to patronize any Black business that's like that, you know. So I had to say that. And again, man, this is a moment where I can say I'm just so happy to be a part of the Black Talk Radio Network and to be a part of Blacks in Business, you know. And the one thing I don't get, though, and, you know, and I'm not throwing stones at anybody, but what I don't get is, I mean, if you're doing radio, if you're doing a radio show on the internet and you're a Black radio host, okay, you're talking pro-Black and you're always talking Black matters or Black lives matter, Black dollars matter. What I don't get is, if that really is the case, then have you checked and see who owns the radio network that you're operating on? And if you have not, then maybe if you hear this, you should, And if you do that and it doesn't turn up to be or turn out to be a black owned radio network, why wouldn't you switch? I just don't get that. Why wouldn't you switch to someone who knows the business and knows what he's doing? And Scotty Reed is that person I'm talking about. He knows what he's doing. This has been a great journey for me. 2 years, I've had no bad experience at all. I've never had a bad experience on this network at all. It just seems to flow smooth. So I'm saying to anybody that's in radio, on the internet, if you're tuned into this show and you're a black man or a woman and you profess to love black, support black, and you're telling people to, you know, that Black Lives Matter, but you're not on a black platform, I don't know what the reason is, but I would suggest that you look to making a switch and help build Black Talk Radio Network as you are helping to build others that probably don't even care nothing about our young children. So I'm going to end with that.
Okay. Well, you know, that was a lot. But the thing is, most people don't know that they should be thinking that the way that you're talking about thinking. They just jump on something because it's popular, you know.
Right.
Same way they do with the shopping. They shop at the mall or at Walmart because it's popular. They really don't get into the reasoning why, you know, they just do it until you cause them to think. And some people will stop and say, well, wait a minute. Yeah, I need to think about that. But some of them will continue going in the direction that they're going. You know, we have a Facebook page called Black Radio Stations and Programs. All those people that have black radio stations and programs should be tapping into Black Talk Radio Network or Black on Purpose TV. And we know that that's just not going to happen. But it doesn't matter as long as we continue to invite people, because there will be some that come along and there will be some that join. But as long as we're doing our due diligence in inviting people onto the networks that are welcoming them, you know, we don't have anything to worry about. But I'm too grateful for the opportunity that we have every Thursday here at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on Black Talk Radio Network. If you all are listening by podcast, feel free to join us live again every Thursday at 7 p.m. If you'd like to call in, the number is 704-802-5056. We want you to support blacktalkmedia.org. It is the bloodline of what is going on here. We need to make sure we're supporting Black Talk Radio Network. Yes, Scotty would like to add something. Go ahead.
Yeah, I really appreciate your kind words about Black Talk Radio Network. But going back to Robert's question, if I can possibly add some insight and answer his question of why these other networks, especially those other programs that are on white platforms like a Blog Talk Radio or a Spreaker, why they may not come over. Well, I can understand. You are on a network. You've been there for a couple of years. You have a following on that particular network. I don't expect you to abandon that network, but you can still incorporate Black Talk Radio. For example, if you got a Blog Talk Radio show, it is producing a podcast, right? Well, we have podcast distribution through our audience. So even if you are not technologically inclined, because the way we do it is a little bit different, we use mixers instead of telephones to broadcast a radio program, still we can help you distribute your podcast, and that service is just $10 a month. That's $120 a year. So, you know, that may be why some people, because we do distribute actually the programs through those other networks. You know, this year, as we were looking to get, you know, Black Talk Radio out there, we explored Spreaker, but we weren't really getting any downloads on Spreaker. Then I started on Blog Talk Radio, I still had the Black Talk Radio account over there with over 1,000 followers to that. So I was like, you know what? Let me just start not broadcasting live on that platform, but let me just go ahead and start distributing the podcast through that platform. And we reach a lot of people through their platform. So I can understand if a person already has an audience somewhere else. I'm just saying, please consider Black Talk Radio for your extra distribution.
Mm-hmm. Well, now that we're talking about that, I just put a post on Facebook with fingers pointing down, telling people to post their podcast. And of course, people want to share what it is as far as information that they want to offer. So I'm going to use that as an opportunity to invite them to either have their podcast stream on Black Talk Radio Network or just come right over to Black Talk Radio Network. I mean, we have to, again, continue to spread the message and let people know that the opportunity is available, because sometimes people won't know unless we tell them.
Another thing that we have coming up in the next few weeks or month is I was able to secure some extra resources that allows me to lower the price on these platforms that we build for other people. You may want, you want your own platform. Usually I'm like this, you got to have your own home base. You just can't be existing on YouTube or just existing on Blog Talk Radio, because you never know when they might start, they might kick you off,
Mm-hmm.
And so you should always have your home base. So because I was able to expand some of my resources and get a better price for myself, I'm going to start offering these platforms for $10 a month. You can have a platform like Robert was talking about earlier, the BIB directory with a shop, a Black Talk Radio Network platform, like ours. I mean, we do WordPress based, platforms, which has probably hundreds of thousands of different themes that you can plug in for the look of your website and the functionality. But we're going to start offering that for just $10 a month as well. $120 a year, but so that's, $10 a month. But if you want to do the month to month, that's $15 a month. Presently, we, advertise the price of $25 a month, but that's going to be lowered.
Okay. Well, that's a great opportunity that we need to make sure that we are sharing amongst our listeners and our fellow radio hosts and hostesses. And again, I was talking to, Brother Michael of Black on Purpose TV. And I hope we can make that collaboration with Black Talk Radio Network and Black on Purpose TV, because it only makes sense to just really lock down that media. So we probably need to have a meeting to make that happen so we can just make that information available to everybody between the two networks. But what I'm going to do is say, like Brother Dave, we're going to follow his lead. We're going to end the program a little bit early tonight. I'm sure that we all could use a little bit more rest. I know I can. But we thank you for joining us for Black Talk Radio Network's Blacks in Business. We're here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us here on Black Talk Radio Network. And good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night. Thank you.